Beis Daf is Ksubas Daf Mem Dalid. We are holding on Daf Mem Gimel and Beis about 10 lines before the end of the page. First thing we're going to do is finish up the discussion from yesterday, explaining the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that the Ksuba from the, if a woman gets married twice as a Nara, the Ksuba from the first husband goes to the father, even though at the time that she's collecting the Ksuba, she's Kvar Yatzim Rishus Aviyah, she's already in the Sua, and therefore is no longer in the Rishus of her father. So we're going to conclude that discussion. That's going to lead directly into a discussion of a case where a person has two Shtaros on the same piece of land. Which Shtar do we listen to? The earlier Shtar, the later Shtar, what we assume the relationship between the two shtaros are, or if you have two shtaros of halva'a or something like that. Excuse me. So that is going to be the discussion on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, and then the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph is going to talk about a Nara Murasa who's a Giyores. If you have a Nara Murasa who's a Giyores that's Mezaneh, at what point, when do we assume that she gets Skila? Does she have a din of Pesach Pesa Av? Does she not have a din of Pesach Pesa Av? Meaning, we're going to have different types of Giyores. Is she a full Giyores? Is she Harasa Shalom Begdusha, Leidasa Begdusha, etc.? Then Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to show the Joshua from the Pasuk that Harasa Shalom Begdusha does get skila, she just doesn't get it by the Pesach Beis Ha'av. She doesn't have a din of Pesach Beis Ha'av. And then the daf is going to conclude with a discussion of Mosi Shemra on a Yisoma, whether you're Chayiv Kras with Mosi Shemra on a Yisoma, and Mosi Shemra on a Ketana. So we're going to get into Mosi Shemra Sugyas a little bit toward the end. So let us begin. Let's go back to Eli'i Itmar Hachi Itmar to explain the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, why it is that Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that Harishona Shel Av, that if a girl had Nisuin twice, and the first ksuba goes to the father. So the Gemara explained, "Aliyit marachit marav Rav Yosef dami tervayu hol berushusu nichtavin." Since the ksuba was written while she was still berushus av, that's why the father gets that ksuba. Umigva me'emas gavya. So we saw yesterday already. The Gemara asked, "At what point does the shibud of the ksuba begin? Meaning, when do nechasim become shubadim to the ksuba?" Amravuna mana masayim in the erusin. The shibud on the mana masayim on the ikur ksuba of 100 or 200, that starts from erusin. V'tosefes minani suin. But the tosefes ksuba, that only kicks in at the shasni suin. Ravasi amar echadzev minani suin. Ravasi disagrees and thinks it all kicks in only minani suin. Frak the Gemara, umi amar afuna hachi. Does afuna really hold that mana masayim kicks in already at the shas erusin, and it's only the tosefes that kicks in? But doesn't Rav Huna say, didn't we learn? Hotzia alav shtei ksubos, if a woman has two ksubos that the husband has written for her, achas shel masayim, achas shel shalosh meos, one of them says 200 nit, the other one says 300 nit, vam Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, well, she has the option of collecting with whichever one she wants. Basa ligvos masayim, if she wants to collect with the cheaper ksuba, the 200 ksuba, well then she can collect going back to the zman written in that shtar, which is an earlier zman. So the advantage of collecting the less amount of money is that she'll have more nechasim that are meshubad to that ksuba. She'll have more places to go to collect it if the husband doesn't have the money. But shalosh meos, if she wants to collect the 300 zuz ksuba, then she's going to have to collect from the date in that ksuba, which is a later date that may not have as many nechasim that are meshubad to pay that ksuba. But v'imisa, if Rav Huna really holds that the ikur ksuba, the mana masayim, is already meshubad mishas erisin, and the tosefes mishas nisuin, tikvi masayim mizman rishon, umeya mizman sheni. So over here, why can't you say that let her collect the 300 zuz, the greater amount, the amount that's in the greater ksuba, but let her collect 200 zuz from the shas erisin, from the earlier zman, and 100 zuz from the later zman? So frakti gemara ulutaymeich, by that logic, if we're asking on Rav Huna already, tikvi chamish meos, kulam, she should collect all 500. Masayim mizman rishon, tasmeyam mizman sheni. Now, shouldn't we assume that the 200 zuz, that's the ikur mana masayim, that she can collect from the zman rishon, and the 300, that's the tosefes, that's something that he's adding on, so that she should be able to collect mizman sheni. So why don't we say that? Ella, chamish meos, my time alo gavya, why can't she collect 500? Kivin v'lakasav latzavisi v'osifas lachtas mea masayim, since he didn't write in the Lashon of the Shtar on the 300 that this is a Tosefes, that what I'm giving you right now is in addition to your regular ksuba, Hachi Karmala, what he's clearly telling her is, Imizman Rishon Kavias Gavya Masayim. If you want to collect from the earlier Zman, then you have to collect the a number that we put into the Ksuba at the earlier Zman. And Imizman Sheini Kavias Gavya Tasmea. And if you're willing to wait to collect from the later Zman, well, then you could collect a higher amount. Then you can collect the 300. So Hachanami over here as well, when it comes to why it is that you don't collect the 200 at the earlier Zman and 100 more at the later Zman, time the low gavi me the low cost of the osifus lach mea amasayim achule achile l'shubu dekama, from the fact that it doesn't say but lashon tosefes that we're adding an extra 100 on the original 200, so that shows that she's mochel the shibud that's created by the first ksuba by going to collect with the second ksuba. She's being mochel the earlier shibud, and therefore she can only collect from the later date. Period. Amar Mar. So we have previously said, sort of, we didn't normally when we have an Amar Mar, you have a direct quote that follows. Over here we don't have a direct quote that follows, but we said something like, Ibaya Bahai Gavya, Ibaya Bahai Gavya. Meaning Rav Huna had said that if a girl has two ksubas, one that says 200, one that has 300, she has a choice which one to collect with. So Rashi already points out, Ad Rav Huna Kai Damar and Basaligvos Masayim Uchule. That's what this is referring to. This is referring to Rav Huna. It's unusual. It's unusual that Amar Mar does not have an exact quote, but anyway, it is accurate in terms of it's an accurate depiction of what Rav Huna held. That Rav Huna held, she has the rights to collect with whichever ksuba she chooses to collect with. So, frankly, Gemara Lema Pliga de Rav Nachman. Let us suggest that that's against Rav Nachman. Dam Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman says Shnei Shtaros Hayotzin Bazeh Achar Zeh. Bitel Hashenias Harishon. You don't get options if you have two shtaros aliyotze b'zeh achazeh. The second one is mevatel the first one. The second one is the legitimate shtar, and the first one is not a legitimate shtar. Rashi explains that we're talking about shtari mecher or shtari matana. They have one piece of land, and you have two different shtaros about the sale of that land or matana on that land. So and it's all to the same person. So the Rif writes that b'shtari halva'a, we would just say that. But they're both accurate, and even if they're both written on the same day, because it's not so uncommon for a person to lend money to the same person more than once. So by shtari alva, we would just say, yeah, so he must have lent him more cash. But we're talking about shtari mecher, where there's only one piece of land that he's selling him, so it can't be that you can't do it twice. It's only one of these shtaros has to be. There's only one piece of land, so that's what Rav Nachman says, that we listen to the second shtar and not to the first star. But bottom line is that's against Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, shouldn't we say that the person has the rights to use and pull out whichever star they want to use, just like a woman with her ksuba can pull out and use whichever ksuba she's interested in using? So says Gemara, no, lav miyit marala amrav papa umodrav nachman di osipe dikla litosefes kasve. Didn't we say that even Rav Nachman is moda that if you just add anything into the second shtar that the first shtar doesn't have, so then we assume that it's not that the second shtar is not mevatel the first shtar, but the second shtar is just adding some more detail that the first shtar didn't have. So if you add just even a single decal tree into the second shtar that was not included in the first shtar, we assume that was just put in there little sefes. So hachanami haosef lamidi. So we hear by the ksubas as well. The reason that it's the either star can be valid is because the second star added something that the first star didn't. The second star has 300 in it. The first star only had 200 in it. So that's considered to be that they're being mosif something. So it is clear that if you're mosif on the star, if the second star adds something that the first star doesn't have, the first star is not batel. The Rishonim, however, debate if you could collect with both shtaros, the Iker from the Shtar Rishon and the Tosefes from the Sheni, or do you have to choose one Shtar or the other? Meaning, is it Enochinami, the second one is not Mevatel, the first one, but what does that mean? Does that mean now that you have to pick a Shtar and go with it? Or can you choose the best of both worlds? Choose use both shtaros on some level. Collect the ikar from the shtar Rishon and get that extra decal that he threw in from the second shtar. Rashi explains that you could collect from the Shtar Rishon and you do not get the, if you collect from the Shtar Rishon you do not get the Tosefes, and you could also have the option of collecting from the Shtar Sheni with the Tosefes, but then the Rishon would be Batel. So it sounds like you cannot collect the Iker from the Rishon and the Tosefes from the Sheni. And the Ritva explains that Rashi holds this way because the Gemara asks from the din of Hotziya Lav Shtei Ksubos to the din of Rav Nachman of Shnei Shtaros, where the first Shtar is Batel. And the Gemara explains that Rav Nachman is Moda when you're Mosif in the Shtar Sheni, that the first one's not batel. Sounds like the din of shtei sharos is exactly the din of shtei ksubos, where you're allowed to collect with one of them, and then you don't collect with the other one. So this meaning we're making complete zushtal, complete comparison between the case of shnei ksubos and shnei sharos. By shnei ksubos, you definitely only get to collect with one of the ksubos. So by shnei sharos, it should be the same. However, the Rashba and the Ritva quote from the Aruch that holds that the Gemara does not mean to fully compare it to a ksuba. Just to say that if you're mosif, it's not mevatel the first shtar, but it's not doma to the ksuba entirely, and if you want, you could collect the ikra from the shtar rishon and the tosefes from the shtar sheni. And the Magen Mishnah understands that way in the Shita of the Rambam as well, in Hilchos Chiyah Perkei Halachates, and the Magen Mishnah says that that's how Rov HaMefarshim say as well. And the Rashba explains, why don't we say it's exactly like the case of two ksubos? Because the reason that you're gova only from one of the ksubos is because the it's normal for a woman to tell her husband that I lost a ksuba, and since the husband is not allowed to stay with her without a ksuba, he'll write her a new ksuba al das that the first one is lost. So sometimes he'll add something into that second ksuba. So she's not going to be able to collect from both of them because the whole writing of the second ksuba was only al das that the first one is going to be batel. So it's not being given to her as a second shtar, as an additional shtar, as an additional kalach. It's given to her because there's an assumption that the first one was lost. But by a mecher matana, it's mistavered that if he wrote the second shtar with a tosefes, he's just trying to give extra kalach. He's just trying to give you a tosefes. Because what mocher in his right mind would write a second shtar? What does he have to lose by not writing it? You lost your shtar? That's your problem. I don't have to write you. I have no responsibility to write you another shtar. If he's writing another shtar, it must be that he's trying to give something. He's trying to give some extra kalach. He's trying to give some extra advantage to the lokeach. Good. Aren't says the Gemara.
Dated?
Yeah.
Aren't they dated? The ksuba's dated. The shtar is dated.
Yeah.
No, but
the question is, can you use both? Can you collect the Iker Ksuba from the date in the earlier Ksuba and collect the Tosefes from the date in the later? So says Gemara Vayter, Gufa, Amar of Nachman, Shnei Shtaros Yotzim Bezer Chazeh, Bitel Sheni Yasar Rishon. There, if you have two Shtaros or Yotzim Bezer Chazeh that have different dates on them, so the second one is Mevatel, the first one. The second Shtar is the one that we listen to. Amar of Papa, Umodur of Nachman, Diyosef Pediklo, the Tosefes Kasvei. And as we pointed out, that if there's something added in the second one that wasn't written in the first one, so we assume that was just thrown in there as a Tosefes, as something to add to give a little extra koch. So Pshita Rishon B'mecher V'Sheni B'matana Li'afos Kochu D'Kasavlei Mishum Dinim D'Bar Metzra. Now it's clear that if the first star was written B'Lashon Mecher and the second star was written B'Lashon Matana, clearly he's just trying to give an upper hand to the Lokeach by writing that second star, because it gives him the advantage in terms of Dinim D'Bar Metzra. What does it mean it gives him the advantage in terms of Dinim D'Bar Metzra? Typically the din is, by Dinim D'Bar Metzra, is that if you sell a piece of land, you have to give the first right of purchase to the neighbor so that he could have one continuous piece of land. But if you give him a matana, you don't have to offer that to your neighbor first. Meaning, if you want to give a matana to somebody, you want to give your land as a matana, you have no requirement of dinim d'bar metzra. So someone might come with a taina, when if this guy sold his land, someone might come with a taina, the neighbor might come with a taina, dinim d'bar metzra, I never had an opportunity to buy it. So that's why he's going to pull out a shtar matana and say, no, it wasn't a sale, it was a matana. So he's writing the Shtar Matana just to give him that Yifoy Koach to be able to overcome the Din of the Bar Metzra. Says Tosfos, V'yatznia oso shel mecher. And then obviously if the neighbor comes, you better hide that Shtar Mecher, because if it's known that there actually was a Mecher, then he's going to have a Taino Din of the Bar Metzra. Demir Shneim is pay Din of the Bar Metzra. If he sees both Shtaros, then there's going to be a Din of the Bar Metzra. Tafilu Matana Shekosu Ba'achrayus is pay Din of the Bar Metzra. Even if you have a real matana that just has a chayis nechasim in the matana, there's a tain of dina debar metzra. So for sure, when you actually had a shtar mecher, there's going to be a dina debar metzra. V'nira demalokech atzma metzra d'lo shayich dina debar metzra d'bitol sheni asarishon. So it says Tosos, what if the guy who bought it actually was the neighbor? And then he has two shtaros. One says shtar mecher, and the second one says shtar matana. You can't say that he was giving it to him, he was writing him a shtar matana, mishum dinid bar metra, because he is the dinid bar metra, he's the neighbor. So he says, in that case, it must be that we would hold that the second shtar is mevatel, the first shtar, that the first shtar is batel. So says Tosfos, yesh mefarshim delav dafka nakat mishum dinid bar metra. But others say, no, we're never going to say the second shtar is mevatel, the first shtar, if the first one is blashem mecher, the second one is blashem, because it's lav dafka that we say that the whole reason he's writing it b'lashem atana is mishum dinu de bar metzra. That feel lo sheir dinu de bar metzra, lo bitel sheni es harishon. Even if dinu de bar metzra didn't apply, the second one would not be mevatel the first one. The nafkamina le'inyan derech, because there are other nafkaminas writing b'lashem atana. For example, does he get to have a path through the neighboring field? If I sell you a field that's next door to a field that I'm keeping, you don't get to walk through the field that I'm keeping, because when I sell you, I'm going to make sure that I get money for every little detail and every little advantage that I'm giving you. But if I'm giving you a matana of a field that's next to an existing field that I have, well then matana we assume is nosein ba'in yafa. You're going to get the right to walk through my field, because we assume I'm trying to give. When I'm trying to give, I'm in a generous mood and I'm giving as much as I possibly can. So that might be the nafkamina between the two shtaros. He wrote the first shtar b'lashem mecher, and then he added a new shtar b'lashem matana to give the guy the rights in the derech. Dinu de bar metzra is just an example of what he's giving, and therefore Tosfos says it doesn't make a difference if the lokeach himself is the bar metzra or not the bar metzra. The kolshkein certainly, says the Gemara, if rishon b'matana v'sheni b'mecher, if the first shtar was written b'lashem matana and the second shtar was written b'lashon mecher, da'amrinon mishum dina de balchov hu de kasav kein. Then we could certainly assume that he only wrote that second shtar b'lashon mecher mishum dina de balchov. What does it mean, dina de balchov? Says Rashi, diyasi balchov v'taruf leminei. The first star was on b'lashem matana. By a matana, there's no achrayus nechasim. If I get a matana, and then it turns out that land gets confiscated from me because you owe money to somebody else, so I have no recourse. I can't go back to you and say, hey, you owe me the land back, or you owe me money, you owe me compensation for the land. It was a matana. But if it was a mecher, then I have a right to say that you owe me, you need to compensate me for the land that was confiscated from me. So if he wrote the first shtar b'lashem matana and the second shtar b'lashem mecher, we know what he's trying to do. He's trying to give you that extra right to be able to demand compensation should that field be taken away. Ella ish shneim b'mecher shneim b'matana bitel sheni as harishon. But if both shtaros are b'lashem mecher, or both shtaros are b'lashem matana, so why is he writing a second shtar? It must be there was a problem with the first shtar, so the second shtar is mevatel the first shtar. My time, why is the second shtar mevatel the first shtar? Two opinions. Rafram Amar aduye odile. Rafram says the bala shtar harishon is being molded that it's mezuyaf, and therefore he needs a new shtar. So by accepting that second shtar and by signing on that second shtar, he's being told that the first shtar was invalid. Rav Acher Amar, then no, he's doing a favor. He's not saying that the first shtar was mezuyaf, but the buyer was doing a favor to the seller by saying that I'm willing to be mochel the shibud. If the first shtar was written on January 1st and the second shtar was written on February 1st, I'm willing to be mochel the shibud of all of January. I'm willing to be mochel any shibud karkos that I would normally have on all the lands that you own throughout January. And that's why I'm willing to accept a shtar that has a February 1st date. But it's not that I'm saying the first shtar was forged, I'm just being mochel the shibud. My benai my nafkamina, whether he's being mochel the shibud or whether he's saying that the first shtar was forged. So says there are several nafkaminas, three nafkaminas. Ika benai, first of all, arui sahade. Do we assume that the edim on the first shtar are false witnesses? If you say that the first shtar was mezuyaf, then you're saying that the edim on the first shtar are false witnesses. But if you're saying that, no, I'm just being mochel the shibud, but there was nothing really wrong with the first shtar, so it doesn't reflect poorly at all on the edim on the first shtar. Ulishlume Piri. Another nafkamina would be if the Lokech ate payrolls between January 1st and February 1st. If you're saying the first star was forged, the Lokech has to pay for the payrolls that he ate between January 1st and February 1st. But if you say the first star was not forged, then he doesn't have to pay for the payrolls that he ate during that time. Ulitaska. And the third nafkamina is to pay the taxes on that land for the month of January. Who's responsible for the real estate taxes for that month? If you say the star was forged, so I didn't become the owner till February 1st, the seller is responsible for the taxes, but if you say I'm just being mochel the shibud, then I'm responsible for the taxes. So those are the nafkaminas that the Gemara provides. The Ramban says, I got another nafkamina. He says, wouldn't it be a nafkamina if you find the edim on the second star to be krovim or psulim? That according to Rafam, that the first star is pasul, so it turns out that the karka goes back to the bailum, because now you have no star. First star was mezuyev, second star the krovim or psulim, so because both stars will turn out to be psulim. But according to Rav Acha, even if the star sheni is puzzle, but nevertheless the star rishon is not puzzle, it's just that he was mochel the achrayus, he wasn't mochel the actual karka, so it turns out that he still gets to keep the karka. Or another nafkamina, says the Ramban, he writes the star sheni only on half of the field. So according to Rafam, the star rishon is batel, so the guy only gets half of the field. Whereas according to Rav Acha, no, he's only being mochel the achrayus, but maybe he's only being mochel the achrayus on half of the field, and the other half of the field he's keeping the achrayus, but he certainly gets to keep the entire field. So these are gewaldige nafkaminas, says the Ramban. So why didn't the Gemara say these nafkaminas? He says because it sounds that the Gemara is assuming that we're talking about where both shtaros have the exact same details. So if both shtaros, whether in terms of the hechsher edim or in terms of the amount that's included in the shtar, and then we're not talking about a shtar where one of them has edim psulim and the other one has edim ksherim, or that one of them is on a sada shlema and one of them is on a chatzi sada. So all the nafkaminas the Gemara gives are nafkaminas where the details of both shtaros are exactly the same, and still there are nafkaminas. So the couple of points over here. We said achule achle l'shibude, that the shita of Rav Acha was that he's being mochel l'shibud. Fractosos tema ma'achle l'shibud shayich kabe matana. That works very well if it's both shtaros were shtarei mecher. But we're also talking about a case where there are two shtaros and both of them were shtarei matana, and there is no shibud on a shtar matana. So what do you mean achule achle l'shibude? So says Tosos near l'ri kigon shebein zman rishon zman sheni. Kana hanosin sada etzel sada hanitan v'hashta achle mekabel matana l'shibuda v'lo yuchel liton dina dvar metzra. That what happened was the guy bought another field right next to that field. So achle l'shibuda is the shibud of dina dvar metzra, the rights to claim dina dvar metzra on that field. V'ono marashba d'nafkamina im lova nosin ben zman rishon zman sheni shiitrufu balichov of meos sada. If let's say he borrowed more money in the month of January, in that in between month. So, is there a shibud on this on this karka, or is there no shibud on this karka to collect this karka? So we had said. So the Gemara said, okay. So we had several nafkaminas. My benayu. So the Gemara had said, first nafkamina we had said was a ruy sahadi. What does that mean, a ruy sahadi? So Rashi explained, and the way we explained it when we read the Gemara is that hachasumim barishon from psulim ravachik sherim, that the edim written on the first star, signed on the first star, according to Rav from our apostle, because the guy is being molded, the lokeach is being molded, that the shtar is mezuyev. Frek Tosfos, tema gedola hu mashe pirush bekuntros livsol eidim. Dein yochel livsol eidim b'inyan zeh. Is that all it takes to pasul eidim? For a guy to say, hey, by the way, that shtar is mezuyev? No, you need testimony that there's something wrong over here, that the shtar is mezuyev. For one guy to just come along and say, the shtar is mezuyev, that's why I'm writing another shtar, that's enough to passel the edim on the first star and to be motzi laws on these edim that they're never going to be able to testify ever again. So says Tosfos near Luri, demiyesh lezeh mekabel matana shum shtar acher sha'edim elu chasumim bo marin le'lishtara hol v'hum modesh ein psulin. Not that we passel the edim and that they're passel the edim for every case that they ever try to testify. No, but if they ever testify for the benefit of this lokeach who's now being moded that they are mezuyev, who's claiming that they are mezuyev, it's like Shavya Nafshe Chatichah D'Yisura. He can never benefit from the signatures of these edim, if they are ever signed in any of his other shtaros. Inami lifsal chasimasan kamer de mezuyuf ezayif hol v'humodah shashtar is a mezuyuf. So pasal those signatures on any shtar that he has, because he's claiming that they're mezuyuf. So says the Gemara, at the end of the day, what do we say in terms of the question of the two ksuvas? In terms of the question of rather when you can collect the ksuva from, because that's how this whole conversation started, about when you can collect the ksuva from. Tashma, Dam Rav Yom Shmuel, Mishum Rav Lazar Rav Shimon, Mana Masayim and Erisin, Vatasefis Min Nisuin, that the Rav Lazar Rav Shimon holds that you could collect the Yikra Ksuba from the Shas Erisin and the Tasefis from Nisuin, Vacham Rechazev Echazev Min Nisuin, but the Cham hold you could collect both only from Nisuin. Vilchasa Echazev Echazev Min Nisuin, and we paskin you collect both from Nisuin. Tosa says that's a little bit strange, that that's how we paskin, that they both collect from Nisuin, even though he's been Mosif in the second Shtar. After all, Rav Nachman says that Yosef tiklul tosefes adaita tosefes kasve. Rav Nachman holds that when you're Mosif, it's just a tosefes, but the first star is still binding, and you can still collect from the zman of the first star. And generally speaking, the rule in Dine Mamunis is hilchsa k'Rav Nachman bedini. We paskin like Rav Nachman in Dine Mamunis. So why would we paskin that echad zeh vechad zeh min anisuin? So Tosu suggests v'omari ta'ach afligav diko tosefes bital sarishon v'taymishum delakish taksuba be'irisin. That at Erisin there is no shtar ksuba. There's a Tanai Bezdin that there's an automatic ksuba. Hilkach nespatal Tanai Rishon al yidei shtar. So then when you write a shtar at the Shas Nisuin, that's mevatel the automatic Tanai Bezdin of the Shas Erisin. Rav Nachman is talking about we have two shtaros, two actual physical shtaros. That's when we say that the second star is only being mosif on the first star. But if the first star is not a real star, it's just a Tanai Beis Din that assumes that there's a Chiyuv Mamon, so then we would not say that the second one is mevatel the first one. Okay, before we get to the next mission, this mission is now going to bring us into the sugya of Motzi Shema. So a couple of important introductory remarks about Motzi Shema. If a person's Motzi Shema on his wife, that she was Mizana, and then it turns out that he was lying, there are three dinim, there are three repercussions to that, to lying about his wife, that she was Mizana Tachtav. Number one, he's got to pay Mea Kesef, he's got to pay a Knas to her father. Number two, he gets Malkus. And number three, he's not allowed to divorce her as long as he lives. He has to stay married to her as long as he lives. We have that din in a few places of Lo Si Elisha. Over here, he's already married to her, so it's not Lo Si Elisha, it's Lo Yuchel Shalcha, that he's not allowed to divorce her. Now, if it turns out that what he said is correct, and he was not lying, then the halacha for the woman is that she's chayv to get skila on the Pesach Beis Aviyah, by the doorway of her father's house, and that's different than a regular Eishes Ish that's Mizana after Nisuin. A regular Eishes Ish that's Mizana gets chenek. But dafka by Nara Murasa, she gets skila al Pesach Beis Aviyah. So that's if she's Mizana while she's a Nara and a Basula. So in addition, the Torah says in a separate parsha that any Nara Murasa that's Mizana, and turns out that with Edim, that she was a Mizana, she's Chayv Skila. Over here by Motzi Shemra, it's not just Skila, it's Skila al Pesach Beis Aviyah. So when we see there's a difference between Nara, if she's Niskelas by through Hotzah Shemra, or she's Niskelas by Edim without Hotzah Shemra. Those are two different partials in the Torah. So now, says the Mishnah, Hagyorish and Niskaira Bita Ima. A woman converts with her daughter. Now, our focus is not on the adult. It's on the daughter. We're only focused on the daughter over here. The mother has nothing to do with the case whatsoever. Vizinsa. The daughter then is Mizana, meaning she grows up to be a Nara and have Erisin, and she's Mizana. Hare Zubichenek. She's Chayiv Chenek. Because she's not chayiv the skila, even if she had a gerus less than 3 years old, because and therefore she's becheskas pesula. The parsha of Nara Marasa is only said about someone who was born a Jew. If she converted, even under the age of three, but if she converted after being born, we don't have the parsha of Motzi Shemra, and therefore she would not get skila, she would just get a regular chenek, like a normal Eishes Ish, that is Mizana. Now, why does the Gemara set up a case where the mother is converting as well? The mother has nothing to do with anything over here. So says Tosos, Hadlo Nakat HaGyorish and Skyra Stama, Mishum Da'ari B'chusim V'ashalosh Dein Darko L'Skyra L'Mi'ima. Because it would be highly unusual for a girl under the age of three to be Megayer on her own. She would need to be Megayer together with her mother, so that's why we mention the mother. Ba'o dain svar shet bilu al das bezin, shem not bilin ger katan al das bezin, alim kein hutaveil this gayer, vizos p'chusim bas gimelein v'das l'tvoa. Now also, part of the gerus process is a tvila. Why would Bezdin dip a little two-year-old girl in a mikvah for the shem gerus, unless her mother was bringing her to convert? If even by a ger katan, even if you hold that a ger katan has the ability, a child has the ability to make that life decision, to become a ger, and we could be matnil them, but that's only if they're toveya. That's only if they say, I'm serious, I want to be a Jew, I want... A girl under the age of 3 doesn't have the ability to do that. So it's got to be that it's that her mother is with her. So good, so that's why we mentioned that she's that the mother was there as well. But the whole halach over here that we're discussing is about the little girl. And she doesn't have any of the dinim of a motzi shemer. She doesn't have a pesach beisav. She doesn't have meyasela. If it turns out that the guy was lying about her, she doesn't get the knas. Case two. Let's say she was born into to a Jewish mother, but she was conceived before her mother was Jewish. Harezu beskila. Then she does get the skila, but ve'en lo pesach beisav lo meyasela. But the din of a Pesach Beis Ha'av, if she's guilty of doing the skila by the Pesach Beis Ha'av, or if she's innocent of paying the Me'asela to her, giving the Knas to her, that does not apply. Now, third case, if she's the daughter of a Gioress, but by the time she was conceived, her mother was already a Gioress, then she's just a regular Bas Yisrael, and then she gets all the normal halachas. Separate situation. What if we're not talking about a ger at all? What if you have a girl who has a father, but her father doesn't have a Pesach bias? He doesn't have a home, so there is no Pesach Beis Ha'av. Or Yeshla Pesach Beis Ha'av, Vein La'av. Or she has a Pesach Beis Ha'av, but she doesn't have a father. Sarezu b'skila, then she's chayiv skila. Lo nemer Pesach Beis Ha'av el mitzvah. Meaning we don't say that, oh, if she can't get the Pesach Beis Ha'av, then mele she's not going to get the whole din of skila either. No, she can get the skila absent the Pesach Beis Ha'av. The two are not dependent on each other. What does it mean she has a father, but there's no Pesach Beis Ha'av? The father's got to live somewhere, the Miri asks. Father has to live, so wherever he lives, do it there. Do it. He's renting out. So he says, no, if he's renting a house, says the Mi'iri, we wouldn't be sokalar al pesach abayis hasachur lavia, because the maskir can say, I don't want such activities going on by my house. The maskir is the owner of the house, so the landlord has the right to say, I'd rather not have little girls be stoned right outside my house. So he has the ability to say that. Rabbi Yonasan Milonil says that ledin pesach pesach, you need it to be based on a kavua. That even if he just goes from place to place, that's not Pesach Kavua, that wouldn't have a status of Pesach Pesach. Or it could be that he lives in a bayis that doesn't have a halachic status of bayis. For all halachs of a bayis, mezuzah and everything else, for all halachs of bayis, we always say that you need a bayis that's dalit al dalit. It needs to be 4 amos by 4 amos. If it's less than dalit al dalit, it doesn't have a din of bayis. Even by chozer meruchei amalchama, the halach is that it only needs to be dalit al dalit, right? That's quite a chiddush, that the Meshuach Melchama is going to get up and announce, whoever just built a house and didn't have an opportunity to really live in the house yet, to be mechanich the bayis, should be able to go back and not fight the war. What, a house? The guy built a 4 amah by 4 amah hut. He built a clubhouse, and even that's enough to be chozer meruchei amalchama. That's the halachic status of bayis. That's the rule of what's called a bayis. So over here as well, it could be that's what it means, that she doesn't have pesach beis ha'av, that the father doesn't have a house that's dalit al dalit. Tosus raises the question. There is a shita that holds that if you can't fulfill every detail of the pasuk, then the whole din doesn't apply. How come we don't say that over here? Meaning, in what context we have that shita? The Gemara talks about when the Torah says you give skila. So yada edim tia bo barishona. The edim's hands are the first ones to throw the rocks at the niskal, at the person who's getting the skila. So you know what you could do if the edim don't have hands. Then you can't do skila because yad edim to yabav rishoni. You need krakid duchsiv. You need the hands of the edim. That's the clever question that some of the achronim raise. What if the edim know that they testified falsely and now they feel badly about it? Do they have an achrayis to cut off their hand to save the person from skila? they cut off their own hand, now there won't be Yad Edim Tiyah Bavarishona, and now they could save the innocent man that they testified against. Is that Derech Rais to now cut off their hand, to lose an Eiver in order to save this innocent man from skill? But that's the halacha, you need Krak Hiduchsiv. So how come we don't say over here that you need Krak Hiduchsiv? So it says, Yeshom to Shaini Yachad, the Gali Kra Umesa, Lurabos Harosha Shlobik Dusha, Vainunami Ein La'ab. So over here we have special pasuk to teach us that these halachas still apply, even if you don't have all the details in place. Says Gemara Minani Mili. How do we know that this is true? That if she was conceived when her mother was a guy and born when her mother was a Jew, that she still gets skila. Umesa comes to teach us that exact case. Iachi milka nami milki, so umeya sela nami l'shalim. So if you're going to say that it comes to include that exact case, why don't we come to include that exact case for all the halachas of Motzi Shema? That she should get malka, that the husband should get malkus if he lied, he should have to pay the meya sela if he lied. Now Umesa tells us that she's included for the Misa, for the type of Misa that she gets skila, but not for the Knas, not for the other halachos. Maybe Umesa is telling us that even that it's coming to tell us that if she was born a Jew, that's when she gets skila. Only if she was conceived as a Jew as well. How do you know that Umesa is coming to include even a case where she was conceived as a non-Jew? Maybe it's only coming to tell us a case of a Baski Yores who is conceived as a Jew. Says Gemara, no, that you wouldn't need a pasuk. You know what we call a girl who was conceived as a Jew? A Jew. So that has the regular status of any other Jew. You wouldn't need a reboy in the pasuk. But maybe he's coming to tell us about a case of a girl who was conceived as a non-Jew and born as a non-Jew. And maybe even she should get skila. How can we assume that it's only a rasa shalobik dusha v'leidas v'kdusha get skila? Maybe Umesa is coming to tell us that even if she was born a non-Jew, she should get skila. Tell us about what's the havamina. We always say the least possible chiddush. So why would we jump to that case and say that the mesa is coming to include even when it was leidasa shalobik dusha? So that's a good kash. Tos gives an answer, but it's a good kasha. So anyway, so says the Gemara, im kein b'yisrael mayahani lei. No, if it was true, even if she were born a non-Jew, then what does the word b'yisrael help? B'yisrael must be that it has to be something about being Jewish. So Amar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, motzi shemra ali yisoma. If someone, it sounds like a new topic the Gemara brings up. Someone's motzi shemra on a girl who's a yisoma, doesn't have a father. Pater, so he's pater. Shenemar v'nasnu la'avi anara. He's pater from paying the knas, because the pasuk says v'nasnu la'avi anara. Prat lezu shein la'av. This girl doesn't have a father, so there's no din of v'nasnu la'avi anara. Mas Rabbi Yossi bar Rav v'vitem Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida v'ma'en yema'en avia l'rabos yisoma l'knas tiv Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns from v'ma'en yema'en avia that even by yisoma you do pay a knas. So how can you say that you don't? You do pay a knas if at the time that the man was boel her, then that she was not a yisoma yet. She only became a yisoma afterwards. But a regular yisoma case, you don't pay a knas. Rava Amar, Rava disagrees and says that by yisoma chayiv, you do pay a knas for yisoma as well. Mimai, how do we know that? Midetani ami. Besulas Yisrael, velo besulas gerim. From the fact that we dafka have a pasuk that tells us that the knas is only for besulas Yisrael and not for besulas gerim. Now, why do I need a pasuk to exclude besulas gerim? Isn't every ger by definition also a yisoma because she doesn't have a father? So why would I, if every yisoma wouldn't get knas, why do I need a pasuk to exclude gerim? If you're going to tell me that a Yisrael who doesn't have a father, you're going to still have to pay the knas, then I get why you need a pasuk to exclude gerim. But if you say that a Yisrael in that situation is going to be pater, has to be Yisrael pater, be gerim yibayi. So if by Yisrael you're going to be pater, by gerim is it a chiddush that there's not going to be a knas? Of course there's not going to be a knas. Even by Yisrael it doesn't have a father, you pater. So that's about a yisoma. Now the Gemara shifts gears. Amrei shlakish or motzi shemra ala katana. What if a person is motzi shemra not on a nara that he had erusin with, but rather on a katana? Potter. So he's potter over there as well from the Knas Shenemar. V'nasu la'avi ha'nara. Because the Pasuk says you give la'avi ha'nara. Nara male dibar ha'kasuv. So it says nara, that means that since it's spelled with a hey, that means it's dafka nara, not a katana. Whenever it's spelled without a hey, then it could be in a katana as well. Maskal ravach baraba time of the ksiba ha'nara ha'lavachi ha'vamina filu katana. The implication is had it not been spelled with a hey, there would have been a hava amina that this parsha could apply to a katana. What do you mean that this could have applied to a katana? This parsha never could have applied to a katana because it says that she's supposed to get skila, and a katana doesn't get skila. Ella, no. Rather, what we're saying over here is obviously this parsha has to mean only a nara and not a katana. Kanara, hakol makom shemar nara without the hay, afilu katana b'mashma, and that therefore should teach us that wherever it says nara without the hay, then you know that it's necessarily a katana. So the Gemara in Yavama says a katana that's nispat to the bia is considered to be an anusa, that she doesn't have the ability to say no to the bia, she doesn't have the ability to make a mature decision. So the Mishnah Melech asks the question: why does the Gemara look for a makar to pater moti shemar on a katana? He's not trying to be mafsid or anything. What's he saying about her? That she was na'anas? Meaning pitoi katana ones. If you say pitoi katana ones, all he's saying about her is that when he's saying she cheated on me, he's saying that she was na'anas, and therefore she's still entitled to her ksuba. She doesn't get killed, she doesn't become asur l'baila, right? She gets everything that she normally would get. So the Mishnah Melech writes that the Rambam is cholik on this, holds that pitoi katana is not ones, and the Gemara in Yavamas is a d'chiya bi'alma. It doesn't mean it that we pass that la'alacha. But if you hold like those Rishonim, that take that Gemara seriously, that Peter Katana Ones, then it's a very good kasha what the Havamina would be on being Motzi Shemra on a Katana. Why, meaning after all, he's not trying to be mafsid her anything to begin with. Okay, we'll stop there. Be'al Shem tomorrow, Nusuga Tani Shila.